My name is Garland Robinson. What does the Bible say about unity? You know, God wants all those who believe on Him to be united. In the Lord's Prayer to the Father in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, we read, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." This is a prayer of our Lord to God the Father, and it was a prayer for unity. One just simply has to look around to see that all the religious world today, they're not united. There are over 400 different denominations. Jesus is certainly not happy with that, and we know that, for He worked and prayed fervently that all of His followers would be united. So what is unity? Better still, what is God's definition of unity? In order to answer that question, we need to go to the Bible and let it speak, for it is our guide. It is God's rule book. It is the pattern that God has given that we must follow. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 that God gives a definition of unity. Here we read, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." His answer here is fivefold. One, all speak the same thing. Two, no divisions among you. Three, perfectly joined together. Four, to have the same mind. And five, have the same judgment. Now, denominations today certainly don't speak the same thing. Division among them is multiplied. They're certainly not joined together, nor do they have the same mind or the same judgment. Some see the need for unity, and they've started what they call an ecumenical movement. The word ecumenical means promoting or tending toward worldwide Christian unity or cooperation. In this movement, many have come together to form a union. But there's a big difference, friends, between union and unity. For example, two cat's tails could be tied together to form a union, but you sure wouldn't have unity. Likewise, two or more churches could come together to form a union, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they have unity, not at least as the Lord describes. Sometimes churches come together and agree to disagree. That is, they agree to come together but reserve the right to differ and teach their own distinct beliefs and doctrines. This is certainly not what God wants, nor is it what Jesus prayed for. There are basically two types of agreement. One, we can agree, but that agreement will not be in accordance with the Lord's Word. Or two, we can agree, and that agreement would be in accordance with the Lord's Word. Now, which of the two do we want? Which of the two does God sanction? Of a surety, we want to agree with each other and our agreement be with God's Word, for we can agree all day, and unless we agree with God, it'll do no good. We need to learn and understand that God hates division. Division is sinful. In Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19, the wise man Solomon wrote, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies," and then here's the last one, "he that soweth discord among brethren." Notice that last one, "he that soweth discord among brethren." To sow discord means to cause disunity, dissension, conflict, opposition or contrast. Discord implies an essential lack of harmony that produces quarreling and factiousness and antagonism. Good people, God hates discord. He hates division. In Romans 16, verse 17 and 18, the inspired apostle said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the innocent." Now, what did he say? He said, mark them that cause division. God hates division. Yet man is pleased with it, for it gives him a way to do as he pleases, as if man had a choice in the matter. Man doesn't have a choice when it comes to serving God. It's either God's way or a non-acceptable way. The Bible speaks of only one church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Now, how many did the Lord say he would build? If he built his church, then there would be only one. In Ephesians 4, 4, Paul said there is one body. What is that one body? If we back up a page and look in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 22 and 23, we learn that God hath put all things under his feet, speaking of Christ, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The body is the church. In Colossians 1:18, we read that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. The word church and the word body are used interchangeably. Therefore, if there's one body, there is one church. If there's one church, there's one body. So Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body. Now that sure contradicts present-day denominations, doesn't it? The churches of Christ are making a plea to restore New Testament Christianity, to restore the church we read about in the New Testament. To do this, we go back to the Bible and do Bible things and Bible ways and call Bible things by Bible names. Where did all the denominations come from? Let's take a brief look at church history. Not long after the time of the apostles, men began to depart from God's Word. And that was prophesied in so many places in the New Testament. In this departure, men began to delegate authority to just one man here on earth. He became known as the head of the church. But the Bible says that Jesus is the only head, and he is the only authority in both heaven and earth. Millions recognize Jesus as the head in heaven, but one man as the head here on earth. This makes two heads and one body. Such would be a freak of nature if found in the animal kingdom. That's not natural. Then hundreds of years passed, and men began to see the fallacy of two heads and one body, so they started a movement to reform the Catholic Church. All that was accomplished in that was to reverse the order. Now they have one head and many different bodies. That likewise is a freak of nature. It's not natural nor right. What the churches of Christ desire to do is not reform the existing bodies, but rather restore the New Testament church, the one true body, to what it was in New Testament times. That way we'll be just Christians, nothing more and nothing less. Suppose a clean river supplied all of our water. But also suppose that industry moved in and began dumping their waste into the river. The water wouldn't be clean anymore. It'd be dirty, contaminated. The people wouldn't want to use that water. But if the industry stopped polluting the river, then the water would once again run pure and clean, and people would be able to drink it. Well, the same is true of the Bible. It is the clean, pure, and unadulterated Word of God. Thousands in the first century believed and obeyed it, and were saved of the grace of God and the blood of Christ. But down through the years, men have polluted the Bible by including in it their teachings and their doctrines they've added to and they've taken from. The world is now confused, and there are many different denominations, all teaching different doctrines. You've probably read a sign which says, "Join the church of your choice." Where and when did man get a choice? If we took away the teachings and opinions and the doctrines of men and just let the Bible speak for itself, then it can and it will produce Christians today just as it did 2,000 years ago. And just as that river can flow pure again, so can the Bible when men get their doctrines out of it. Take another example, the game of football. It's played by a rule book. But suppose there was a nuclear war and perhaps nearly the whole world was destroyed. No one would care anything about games or recreation. Then suppose thousands of years from now, someone in their excavation found a rule book for the game of football. Do you suppose those people then would be able to follow the rules of that book in every detail and play football just as we play it today? Well, they certainly could. They could do so because the rule book would tell them the size of the field, the number of players, the kind of ball, the length of time to play, everything they need to know. Would those people have created a new game? Well, of course not. They would have simply restored football to its original state. The same is true of making a dress from a pattern or baking a cake from a recipe. If the directions are followed, then you have exactly what the pattern or recipe calls for. If people today would simply follow the pattern of the New Testament, they would be nothing more than a Christian. They would be members of the one church that you read about in the New Testament. Friend, would you like to study further in view of becoming a Christian like those that we read about in the New Testament? Let's remember that God hates division. He hates those who sow discord. He hates those that add to His Word and take from it. When you read the Bible, you can't read of any denominations there. That is division. But the Lord's church, the church of Christ, is that which He shed His blood to purchase, and He did so, and so many thousands and millions of people have been members of it when they humbly obeyed the Lord's will. Why not become a New Testament Christian? Let's go back to the Bible and restore Christianity, restore the church as it was in the New Testament. If you will, you can write us and request information on how that we can see the Bible alike and we can agree and that agreement be in accordance with the will of God. Our plea is to be saved, to be right with God. We have no other agenda than that. We have no man to be faithful to, but simply to be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ and do Bible things in Bible ways. Friend, God wants unity. Jesus wants it, and He prayed for it. We can do it if we will follow His ways.